Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Hello. What up? It's a new week. I hope you guys are all surviving. Your fantasy teams are okay. Made it to the next one. I have three head-to-head leagues that are in the playoffs right now, and all three teams survived. I got a little lucky, mind you. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. One of them, I think I would have won two out of the three even without profound luck. The third one, I don't think I would have made it. I got very fortunate in that one. My opponent lost Tyrese Maxey and Wemby, who didn't play, much last week? I think he played like one out of their three games or something. I probably would have lost that week if that dude didn't lose two of his top three players. But you know what? So it goes with head-to-head playoffs. It's pretty much comes down to which team can stay healthy and maximize games played. So we skirt through, we move to the next one. And we'll do two shows today to address that type of stuff. This is the weekend review show, so we're going to be going through all the ads for this coming week based on longer-term needs. So someone that you'll have for this 2 weeks, whatever it is, you're looking for that bang for your buck kind of guy. That's what this first show is about. And then we'll have our quick afternoon weekly preview, because it's Monday, but basically a streamer show that gets you situated for how to attack whatever you want to call this week. Some websites call it week 20. Technically, it is actually the 21st week of the regular season, because the All-Star break, even if fantasy sites call it one period, it's actually 2 weeks of real life. I'm fairly certain there were 14 days in there. So it's technically week 21. Whatever. Playoffs, not playoffs, roto, whatever format you're in, we're going to try to break down all 30 teams on today's show and get you situated for basically what's going on with them. This is a reset. Before we dive in, because these longer shows, these are an opportunity to do a little bit of promo, I want to, again, welcome everybody to Fantasy NBA Today. This is a Sports Ethos presentation. I'm Dan Bespris. You can find me over on Twitter at Dan Bespris, D-A-N-B-E-S-B-R-I-S. Many of you are watching with us live over on Twitter right now, so make sure to like and follow if you're over there. Like and subscribe if you're on YouTube, and rate and subscribe if you're checking us out after the fact on a more traditional podcast channel. Also, shout out to our baseball draft guide and the baseball team under the leadership of Joe Orico. They have been dominating. The fact that we've got this new division up and running is incredible. This is basically the third year that baseball has existed in any capacity at Sports Ethos. Second year that it's had kind of a legitimate fantasy presence, and now kind of the first year that it's really been a full marketing blitz, and we've added a draft tracker, and Joe put out his projections this year. It's well worth signing up for the MLB pass. And also, I've been told that the offer for NBA subs to extend their subscription to the All Sport for just $1 to upgrade, that got extended through today. That's what I've been told. So, lots of reasons to go check out what's going on over at Sports Ethos. And now we can talk about our show for the day. News of the morning, and I've had this up on the screen here to start the show. Sadiq Bey, torn ACL. The initial note on him was a knee hyperextension. Obviously, this is much, much worse than that. He will miss the rest of this year and, by all accounts, most of next season. Rough break for Sadiq Bey, who actually had been kind of teetering on the brink of fantasy value all season long. He was kind of in the doesn't-matter club until Atlanta started losing bodies here. And he actually was putting up some kind of decent numbers of late. But obviously, you can drop him. There is no clear ad in Atlanta, despite the fact that both Bey and Jalen Johnson on the wing are out. And, of course, Trae Young is still out in the backcourt. There's just, like, 1,000 things going on with that team. And there isn't someone that can just step into it, which feels kind of insane, but, like, that's how it is. So keep an eye on Garrison Matthews more than anything else. Vit Krejci, I think, also, he got a start, I believe, in that ball game yesterday. Yeah, he started at 3 points and three assists, though, in 22 minutes. Overextend yourself or anything. And it's possible that nothing ends up coming out of this. What they really need is for Onyeka Okongwu to come back, because now he and Clint Capela are basically going to have no choice but to play side by side. So that's good news for both of those guys, as Capela's minutes cap slowly getting lifted up. He's around 26 now. Bruno Fernando is putting up some kind of marginal numbers in 20 to 22 minutes of ball game, but I don't think you can take that plunge unless you really had to. And Atlanta's schedule isn't very good to start this week either, if that's kind of a thing that you're dealing with. But, yeah, unfortunate news, certainly, out of Hawks territory, as they just keep losing starters. They're down three of them now. And, you know, the magic of NBA, of the play-in tournament, is that Atlanta, despite being six games under 500, is actually still the 10 seed. So they have this fleeting hope of getting Jalen Johnson and Trae Young back and then making a run at it. I don't know what that run would look like, but six games under and in the play-in. East is a little top-heavy this year, guys. Ah, well. So that's the news out of Atlanta. That means that we can now start to look at just kind of the overall card and what everything means. So let's go reverse chronological lightning round style. We will begin with yesterday, and we will move our way through the card. You can see I was looking at the Atlanta Hawks box score as the last thought before going on air.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now let's dive in. Milwaukee beat the Clippers. This was a back-to-back afternoon situation for LA. So they sat Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. There's really nothing on the Milwaukee side. No changes. Just Malik Beasley continues to be a three-pointers stream for Chris Middleton, who it sounds like is actually getting kind of close. But if you're in your playoffs, you can't, like, speculatively add someone and hope that they play. You have to be getting something. If you're in Roto and somebody happened to drop Middleton, or if you're not in your playoffs yet, which some leagues are still, it's unfortunate, but some leagues are still rolling like that. That's a situation where maybe you could look at Middleton, but look, I told you guys to avoid him from the very first day of this year, and I really haven't moved off of that position. As far as the Clippers go, I don't think there's going to be another game coming up, in at least not in the near future, where they sit both Kawhi and PG. But should a game surface where that happens, Norman Powell is the obvious play. Dude took 21 shots. He'll have to do a lot of the offense. James Harden was bad, so that also kind of forced other people into doing a little bit more stuff. Zubats takes a few more shots. Amir Coffey and Terrence Mann are kind of like the next tier down. Clippers have this really good schedule run going, but you kind of knew that with that afternoon thing going on, they probably weren't going to have their studs play all five of these games. You might very well see the studs play the next three, though. They go tomorrow, and then they go Thursday, Friday. So Clippers still on in the middle of a better scheduling stretch. This is sort of the lightest day of it in terms of if you were going to, like, start, grab a Clipper or whatever. But you don't need to take that plunge because their guys are going to be back for the next one. So let's just keep moving. Indiana beat Orlando. Aaron Nesmith, 37 minutes. That's a team high, more even than Tyrese Halliburton. And for Nesmith, we just kept calling him a soft hold, a please try, do what you can. And then Benedict Mathurin went down, and it was kind of like, oh, well, now they're going to need Nesmith to just play every damn wing minute. And he pretty much did. I mean, 37, like, I get it. It's not Tom Thibodeau 43 or whatever Josh Hart's playing these days. But that's so many minutes now for Nesmith that even if he's not doing stuff on the basketball court, he's still going to kind of have to be doing stuff on the basketball court. I know it's a weird, nonsensical way to say it, but like, even if his usage is super low, even if he seems somewhat disengaged, if you play 37 minutes in an NBA game, you're basically guaranteed some kind of fantasy stat. So now, because of the Mathurin injury, Nesmith ends up being a pretty good hold. Now he's a strong hold instead of a soft one. Also of note, not picking up Obi Toppin. He had a better ball game here, but you're not adding him. TJ McConnell, who we talked about last week as a guy who'd actually been playing pretty damn well of late. Indy has a back-to-back tomorrow, if you're looking at it from that perspective. If you're just looking at it from kind of the overall perspective, McConnell had one resounding dud in the middle of what's otherwise been a very solid stretch for him. That's now lasted about 2 weeks. He's top 70 over that time span. Just a 12-minute game against Minnesota. He didn't have it. But otherwise, the numbers have been excellent, and you can almost go back. It's more than 2 weeks now. February 22nd. So it's more like 2.5 weeks, almost three, not quite, where he just started putting up numbers in 20 minutes. It was just like a go get 'em moment for McConnell. So again, Indy's schedule is a little bit weird. They're off today. They got the back to back, and then they go one time in 4 days after that. So there isn't really a long term play here. But if you're putting out a Craigslist ad for assists and steals on good field goal percent, McConnell's your man. Don't expect him to score double digits every ball game, though. That even on this little mini heater he's on, that's still been a bit more rare. But the assists and the steals have not been rare. He's shooting 60% over those last two and change weeks. That'll get it done. And he's, specialist appeal, but good enough. And the math basically tells us that he's been playable enough in the other categories where the good stuff is currently outweighing the bad. Orlando, that's a team where a bunch of bad outweighs the good on the fantasy standpoint. Franz Wagner is literally the only nine-category player you've been able to use on that team all season long. Paolo continues to be a very solid points league option. Cole Anthony was better in this one, but who cares? No Markel Fultz in this ballgame. No Jalen Suggs in this ballgame. Wendell Carter Jr. happened to play, I guess, a little bit better. He had 15 rebounds, so he saw a few extra minutes, but he and Mo Wagner are pretty much splitting the center minutes these days. It's a mess. Don't do it. Don't take the plunge. And a bad schedule to boot. Wizards, they just keep losing bodies. Down Marvin Bagley, down Rashawn Holmes in this one now. Lost Landry Shamet, who no one really cared. Bilal Coulibaly made it pretty much to the end of the ball game, but then tweaked an ankle, and he's questionable. The good news, I guess, is that with all of these guys out, it really shortens up the rotation. They pretty much only played six guys in that ball game. Jordan Poole got into foul trouble. He had five fouls in 22.5 minutes. He just sort of didn't have it. Bench Poole is a start these days, though. Coulibaly, if he happens to play in the next ball game, and I've been pretty much out on him all season long, but similar to the Aaron Nesmith thing, if you give him 37 minutes, you probably can play him. He's the only one that becomes borderline for me, but like Tyus Jones in massive minutes, Denny Avdija, massive minutes, Kuzma, massive minutes. Kispert is very much a start when he's in the starting five, and then Bench Poole is a start as well. So the Wizards, you thought the regulars were going to be the guys going down, and it's the irregulars. I feel like I'm talking about bowel habits. On the Miami side, bunch of guys did some stuff. and I don't really care. Jaime Jaquez was okay. Caleb Martin was decent again. Nikola Jovic actually had an okay line. I want nothing to do with these guys outside of when the schedule allows for it. And it did last week. Miami had four games over the last 6 days of last week, so that's fine. But now a lot of these streamers, they're all off 2 days. Miami's schedule does get a little bit better towards the end of this week, if that's the direction you're looking. But again, we'll cover that stuff on the streaming show later on today. As far as the everydayers, that's what this recap show is about. The everydayers on Miami right now are Rozier, Butler, Bam, and then Duncan Robinson is the Tyler Hero fill-in everydayer. Other bad news from yesterday, in addition to the Sadiq Bey stuff, I threw the Sadiq Bey news up on the screen to start the show, basically because Woj had just tweeted it out a couple minutes before we went on air. But from last night, Alperen Şengün badly injured towards the tail end of this ball game. He did manage to make it through most of it, so at least from that standpoint, you got an okay line before the damn sky fell on you. We don't have an official report yet, but the dude was wheelchaired off the field, so not good. Not good on the Şengün front. There are a few possible adds here, assuming he misses 3 weeks or more. Those possibles are Jock Landale, Jeff Green, and then the young guys, either Amen Thompson or Cam Whitmore or possibly both or whatever. Şengün, you're not just taking minutes off the board. And this is something we've talked about more lately than we did earlier in the season. Just this idea of, like, what is role really? Because there's opportunity, there's minutes, there's a lot of ways to kind of handicap a card. Şengün's playing 32 and a half minutes, which is not a colossal number for a starter, but it's traditional starter's minutes. But more than that, he was taking almost 16 shots a game and had 5 assists. So the offense was heavily run, and 5.5 free throws, by the way. The offense was largely running through Şengün and Freddie VanVleet this year. By the way, if this is the end of the season for him, he'll finish at number 61 in Ninecat with 63 games played. I don't want to get too far out ahead of myself, but it's a possibility. But then you think about it kind of from the ad standpoint. Like, do we really think Houston is going to be comfortable playing Jock Landale 30 minutes a ballgame? I'm inclined to say no. Now, Şengün hasn't missed many games this year. I think he missed like two. How many games has Houston played? 64? And he, what did I just say, 62? No, 63. He missed one damn ballgame this year. So we have almost no data on what Landale gets to do. I'm not even sure Jock was healthy for that game that Şengün missed. But most importantly, he really hasn't played more than teens in minutes at all this year. And he's a serviceable backup. Played 19 minutes, I think, like the second or third game of the year and had 4 points and 5 rebounds. Landale's best game of the season was probably this last game. He got 17 and a half minutes, so that was, again, a little bit higher because Şengün was out, and he had 9 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, and a block. But they're not going to run the offense through Landale. He's not going to get 4 assists ball game. And frankly, I don't know that he's going to get more than about 22 to 24 minutes a ball game, which in my eyes isn't enough. Because then you've got Uncle Jeffy. Jeff Green will probably play 10 to 15 minutes. And then there will probably be some kind of a stretch. 8 minutes, 5 minutes, 6, 9, I don't know, where Jabari Smith Jr. is playing center and the Rockets go small. So in that case, you'd probably see either Amen Thompson or Cam Whitmore pick up an extra. Is it going to be all of the minutes where Jabari Smith Jr. is at center? I don't know. But does Thompson go from 20 minutes to 24? Does Whitmore go from 17, 18 minutes to 22? Or does one of them soak them all up? Do the Rockets end up going bigger? They might have to, but Amen Thompson's actually a pretty big guard, mind you. So do you give Amen 26 minutes? Because if so, then he's the grab. I don't think there's almost any way that Jock Landale sees enough playing time to be a 12-teamer. I know there's almost no chance Jeff Green does. And then so the guy that I'm staring at, I think we should all be staring at, is Amen Thompson, because we've seen him do it in 24 or 25 minutes. And it feels like he could get 4 or 5 of Şengün's minutes and maybe a few of his touches even. But is it going to be Thompson one day and Whitmore the next? How does this whole thing shake out? If you got a deadweight player on your roto bench, you could probably drop them for Amen Thompson. Just see how the next ball game goes. If you don't have any deadweight, then you kind of have to play this one by ear a little bit. Or I. No thoughts on the Kings. Keep playing Malik Monk. He's been hot. Kevin Huerter is not. That's it. Keegan Murray tweaked an ankle, but he's a tough nut. I'm expecting him to play in their next game. I guess we'll see. New Orleans, as the Pelicans go, or as Trey Murphy goes, the Pelicans go. That's sort of the way things have worked for them. Trey is volcanic hot lately. He is surface of the sun hot. And so the Pelicans are winning all of their ball games. It doesn't hurt that they played a Hawks team without Trae Young, without Jalen Johnson, and then without Sadiq Bey partway through. But Pelicans are beating everybody right now. Jonas Valanciunas has become a bit expendable because of how free and easy they are now scoring the basketball. If Trey Murphy ever cools off, you're going to see JV's minutes actually come back up. I know that seems sort of counterintuitive, but they can run a little smaller with Zion at center, and they can just outgun teams right now. When Murphy cools off, they're going to need a little bit more size. They're going to need better rebounding. They're going to need JV to do a little bit of the scoring. I think you'll see his minutes trend up a tad, and it'll also depend a little bit on the opponent. So don't drop Valanciunas. Basically, from the time that Nance got healthy and the team got healthy, he dropped from that top 50 play to more like a top 100, but I don't see him falling really any farther than that. Sadly, you're not adding Larry Nance. You guys know I love to add Nance anytime I can, but I think I've learned my lesson at this point. We've already talked about the Hawks, so we can keep rolling past them. Brooklyn beat the Zombie Cavaliers right now, 120-101. As long as the Nets have this set of players healthy, you start the starters, which is Bridges, Cam Thomas, Nick Claxton, Dennis Schroeder, and Dorian Finney-Smith. You can start all five of those guys. They're all getting starters minutes, and they're all doing enough, with Finney-Smith being sort of the do I really want to wait this thing out? Because Brooklyn's schedule goes from very, very good to a bit quieter here the next little bit. Actually gets better again in like 6 days, but they only have one game over the next five. So if you're on the head-to-head side, you could probably punt on Finney-Smith. But the rest of these guys are putting up giant numbers, and if anybody else shows up, then we'll reassess things again. Cavs are the more interesting side of this ball game, without question, the more interesting side, because they got all kinds of weird stuff going on. And in kind of a fun little twist for us, a lot of the Cavs have already been ruled out for tonight. I say that's fun because at least we know what to do with it. Donovan Mitchell's still out. Max Strus is still out. Dean Wade is still out for the Cavaliers. So you pretty much have this iteration, which George Niang starting. He's playable when he starts because he's just going to be out there gunning away from three-point land. Isaac Okoro is a much better sort of across-the-board stream. Caris LeVert, only 6 shots in this game, was fairly surprising. I think you'll see him do more in the next one. You guys know I don't like LeVert's fantasy game, but with this many guys out, I don't see how you have a choice but to play him. And so that ends up being a start-the-starters deal for Cleveland as well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If somebody shows up, and it doesn't sound like it's going to happen in this one, but if somebody shows up for the Cavaliers, then you reassess. And they play today, and then they play Wednesday, and then their schedule gets light. So at that point, whatever sort of fringier guys you have, like Niang, Okoro, LeVert, if you're on the head-to-head side, you could potentially move on after Wednesday. But see if you can squeeze another game or two out while everybody else is hurt. Oh, the Grizzlies. Good Lord. I mean, it's hard to even keep track of who's in and who's out for this team. They lost to the Thunder by 31. Let's start on the Thunder side, by the way, because Jalen Williams had a pretty bad ankle tweak early in this game. He did not come back. Cason Wallace ended up scoring 22, Thunder have a bad schedule this week, so head-to-headers, you probably don't do anything with it. Roto, I think I'm leaving it alone. I guess the question is, will Lu Dort end up doing enough? He made all five of his shots, so this game doesn't really tell the whole story. Do we think Cason Wallace is really going to go get 14 shots in 27 minutes a game? A bit skeptical of that also. This is, I got to see it once with the Thunder. I got to see it against a team that's an actual NBA club before I go picking through whatever carcasses start to surface there. Speaking of picking through the carcasses, Memphis, legitimately, I don't know if you can trust anyone on this team on the head-to-head side because we have no idea who's going to play on a game-to-game basis. Right now, Jaren Jackson is trying to rack up some games played. I still think he's just trying to get to 65. He's at 57 right now, so maybe you get another 2 weeks out of JJJ. When he goes down, I think you could play Santi Aldama. Jake LaRavia is not too far off, and I keep saying that, but 24 minutes does not give me a whole lot of confidence in playing LaRavia. And you're like, oh, Dan, it was a blowout. Yeah, but like G.G. Jackson played 37 minutes and Lamar Stevens played 30 off the bench. There is no consistency whatsoever. They're just hunting for whoever has any kind of fantasy game available on a given night. And if you've got a little bit of game, you get to play a little bit more that day and that day only. G.G. Jackson had 30 points here. He'd been horrible for like 3 weeks before this. You're like, Dan, should I pick him up? No. And then Jordan Goodwin will get a game every, one out of every three because he's on a two-way deal. Luke Kennard played in this one. John Conchard did not. You can't do it. Jaren Jackson is startable, certainly for the moment, because he's healthy. Healthy enough, I guess. Vince Williams, when he's upright, you play him. But if he starts to miss games here and there, I don't know how we rectify that on the head-to-head side. Dejan Giroux had a really nice game, and I couldn't have even told you who he was 3 days ago. You're picking these guys up. Just don't do it. Save yourself the trouble. Philly and New York, I was fully convinced that this was the score at the end of three quarters. We've seen the score at halftime of a number of ball games. 79-73. Neither team broke 40% from the field. The teams combined for 32 turnovers. The Sixers shot 57% at the foul line. This was ugly. Ugly. Shouldn't be surprised, though. Philly's down both Embiid and Maxey, so it's just a bunch of who's or what's its. Buddy Hield, hold Buddy Hield. I know he came off the bench, but he's a hold. Paul Reed is technically a hold. I'm kind of wimping out on starting him against a games cap, but technically he is a hold right now. I'm going to say no to Nick Batum. I'm going to say yes to streaming Kyle Lowry, who obviously he would have had more than three assists if anybody on his team could make a shot. Spoiler alert, they could not. Oubre's a go. Tobias Harris is a go. I don't like Campaign in nine cat. We've talked about this, and that's where I'm at. That's where I am with the Sixers. Even after a 73-point game. And then for the Knicks, or a 79-point game. For the Knicks, they got 73. If Jalen Brunson is even anything but absolutely atrocious, the Knicks win this ball game. But he was absolutely atrocious. Brunson, you start. Josh Hart has played 40 minutes in nine consecutive ball games. He's about to he's going to lose an arm in the next one, and I won't be surprised. DiVincenzo, Precious Achiuwa, those guys are also playing. I'm not playing Jericho Sims. And I feel so sick to my stomach about saying it. Stomach, not stomach. But you can stream Isaiah Hartenstein's spot in Roto or head-to-head. Because, Roto, what's the point of just having him on the bench? It's been a month and change now where he hasn't gotten starters minutes. Mitchell Robinson is inching closer. It doesn't look like there's any change coming for Hartenstein's minutes cap. And I pray to the good Lord that I don't drop him this week, and then they're like, oh, by the way, he can play 26 minutes now. But we're just not seeing it. And that roster slot is basically useless on Roto. And in head-to-head, you can find somebody better. Now, if the Knicks had a really good schedule, maybe. They don't. It's just a three-game week this week and next week and last week. They're in a light, light scheduling area, which at least means he won't get a back-to-back off. But I mean, it kills me to say it, but Hartenstein does not need to be on rosters right now. It's too much of a pain in the butt. Minnesota was down a whole bunch of guys, the key ones being no Cat for the rest of the regular season, no Gobert for shortish term, and no Kyle Anderson, also for shortish term. If all three of those guys are out for the Wolves' next ball game, which, by the way, is tomorrow, they're in LA for the Lakers-Clippers set, and then they're off for 3 days. This is a tougher call to make, I think, on the head-to-head side than on Roto, but Nikhil Alexander-Walker played 39 minutes. He's very much a start if all of those guys are out on Tuesday. Naz Reid is a play the rest of the regular season. That's an easy one. Jordan McLaughlin had 4 threes, but you're not doing anything there. Jaden McDaniels took 17 shots, which was kind of by Lakers' design. They wanted him to be the guy shooting. I had a chance to watch this game. I try to watch all the Laker games. Still have this fleeting hope that I'm going to get back to actually covering the Lakers like 3 years ago or whatever it was. Lakers did a lot of rotating and often did not rotate to cover McDaniels. They were like, all right, if anybody's going to be taking this thing, it better be you. And it worked. He was bad on jump shots. Terrific. We're dog sitting, my mother-in-law's dog, and then that dog has a high-pitched noise, and then mine starts yelling. Delightful. All right. Come on, dogs. Shut it up. I can't pause. I'm on a live show. They're both going nuts right now. Screw it. We're just going to yell over dogs barking. This is idiotic. Ay, ay, ay. This is going to be a long week in the Bespris household. Multiple dogs. I didn't sign up for this. Anyway, because Minnesota's schedule is terrible, if you're playing head-to-head, you're not going to add someone today for just tomorrow. If you happen to add someone yesterday when the news broke that everybody for the Wolves was out, you'll hold on for one more day. Try to squeeze out that one more big one tomorrow, and then you're dropping these fringe guys because, again, the schedule just dictates head-to-head. You can't do it. Roto, okay, whatever, fine. Like, try to squeeze out the game. If you wanted to hold on a few more, that's also fine, provided you're not way behind in games played. And then for the Lakers, Anthony Davis dealing with his shoulder thing. He says he still feels it. Lakers are also a team in a really light scheduling stretch right now. They're off until Sacramento on Wednesday. There aren't any fringy players on the Lakers, though. We'll talk more about them. That's just a team where you can't even take a stab at a fringy guy. And frankly, the Lakers schedule is so bad over the next 13 days, you might even consider dropping some everydayers. Like Austin Reeves is very good. He's been, 85 range all year, but 85 range with this type of schedule might not cut it. It's 4 games over 13 days right now, people. That's almost 2 two-game weeks in a row. Dogs. We'll hide him in another room for tomorrow's live show. All right, that was Saturday. We still got a couple more days to cover, although a lot of teams played on Saturday, so that at least took care of that part of our business. Want to quickly remind everybody, since a lot of you are now watching live that weren't when I did it the first time around, take a moment to find me over on social media, at Dan Bespris on Twitter. This is a time of the season where a lot of people unfollow because either their season ended or whatever's going on. So hopefully some of you are new, finding me for the first time. Make sure to follow now. We're going to be doing a lot of content between today and the end of the regular season. We go all off season long as well. This is a podcast that goes until the end of time. There was one time where I didn't miss a single weekday for like 2.5 consecutive years. I don't plan on doing that again, but it's really fun to have you guys around. We do a lot over on social media. We do a lot in the pod. Like and follow if you're watching on Twitter. Like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And rate and subscribe if you're listening after the fact. Of course, also check out sportsethos.com. NBA coverage, baseball coverage. We'll have football stuff coming up in the next, whatever it is, month, something like that. We're an all-around-the-year squad now over here. And also, check out our buddies at manscaped.com. Promo code there is ETHOS20. Get free shipping and a 20% off on your order at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping with promo code ETHOS20. Kept that promo short because we got lots left to cover. Saturday's card, Chicago, they played the Clippers. This is the Clippers when they were healthy, and you don't really do anything besides the big namers there, and then Zubats is kind of like your third-string center. For Chicago, start the starters. We are inching closer to an Andre Drummond game, for whatever that's worth. When's the next? I think I said it was like in the March 20-something range where the Bulls play a big team again. It is the Timberwolves. And now somebody's here to check on the balcony. I can't get through a damn live show. YouTubers, I need you guys to just wait for just a second. I got to deal with the front door. Hold on, everybody. Okay, that was confusing. Where did we leave off? Right, Chicago. I was looking up when they'd play a big team again, and it's the Timberwolves on March 31st, but they don't even have Cat anymore, so I honestly don't know if Drummond's going to have another useful game this year. Brooklyn, we talked about. Charlotte, they are also in sort of like a bonus zombie mode these days. Miles Bridges, he's a go. Brandon Miller's a go. Nick Richards continues to be your sort of low-end center fill-in. Trey Mann these days, on top of already being down LaMelo Ball, who probably doesn't play the rest of the year, and Cody Martin. So Vasilije Micic is a start. He's going to have efficiency issues, but he's a start because the assists are just simply going to be high enough. And, you know, again, 30-some-odd minutes of point guard stuff, you've got to give it a go. Grant Williams in the starting five, I am lightly intrigued by, but... I mean, again, they had this good schedule stretch that started. Remember, we talked about the 6 games in 9 days stuff. So they're 2 games into that. So now they got 4 games over 6 days. Roto, I'm probably not using a Grant Williams game against my cap. It's just not fun enough. And then Davis Bertans is very much streamable on the head-to-head side right now. But you are gambling a bit if you try to use him against a games cap. Make sure I've got all my tech going right now after trying to pause and flip and do whatever. Dallas, Daniel Gafford time is back upon us. Thank goodness. A perfect 7-for-7 from the field. I know you're like, it's only 24 minutes, Dan. Why are you so excited? That's all he's needed. He was a third rounder in 26.5 minutes in Washington. So what do we think in 24 minutes? Fifth rounder? Sixth? I mean, either way, it's an everyday play. Yes, there was no Derek Lively in this one, so that was, you know, that helped him a little bit. But he's starting now. That's what I'm looking at. So you're basically guaranteed 20 minutes, which is probably top 100. Anything beyond that is, I don't want to say gravy, because we were obviously hoping for more. But at least he's no longer a good Lord, he played 16 minutes kind of guy. PJ Washington, I mean, I did tell you this type of game was coming, and here it is. You know me. I'm trying to soften my stance on just playing hot guys, and PJ was super hot. Will it continue? I don't. Maybe. I don't do it myself. That's what it comes down to. I don't really play these guys that just sort of get hot. I screw it up for whatever reason. I play them on the wrong days. I'd rather play the guys that I trust. So for this team right now, obviously Luka, Kyrie, and Gafford are the three guys you trust. For Detroit, Ausar Thompson left this game early with an illness, but he's not on the injury report, so presumably he'll be fine for the next one. And Jalen Duren got ejected for 2 technical fouls, so the minutes were all over the map. James Wiseman played 30. That ain't happening again. Simone Fontecchio played 32, started the second half in place of Thompson, and had 27 points on 13 shots. That's not happening again. Although, to Fontecchio's credit, he's been a pretty good three-point shooter for Detroit, but doesn't really do much else. Managed to get a couple of other things because he played 30 minutes. But again, like, you know, 24, 25 minutes for him, you might get points in the teens. But the other stuff just isn't going to be there. I don't like Isaiah Stewart's fantasy game. So for me, I've seen nothing to get me off of Cade, Duren, and Thompson as the three guys I trust on Detroit.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Boston's rolling into a back-to-back. I'd assume that at least some of the guys currently listed as questionable will indeed sit the front end of this. Kristaps Porzingis is missing games regardless of the back-to-back. So do we finally see Al Horford play both? I doubt it. You'll probably get a Xavier Tillman game blended in there somehow. But he didn't even play in this one. Luke Kornet got the backup center minutes. So is it Kornet time if you're streaming a Boston Celtic over the next 2 days? Because I don't think Horford's going to play in both of them. I mean, you might get like a 27, 28-minute Kornet game in Utah in altitude, or I don't know, we'll find out later on. But they may rest a bunch of guys. This is Boston's got a couple of tanking teams on this back-to-back. Portland, Utah, it's a brutal flight, by the way, late into the night with the time change and all that stuff, and altitude. There's no chance their regulars are playing both of those. And frankly, you might see, I don't know if they're going to rest half of them in each ball game, or, you know, play them all in Portland and then sit them all in Utah. But that's why you look at, okay, look, if we find out that Boston's sitting, let's say, Jaylen Brown and Jrue Holiday tonight, that probably means they're sitting Tatum and Derek White and Horford tomorrow. Which means that if two guys or three guys are down in each ball game, then you actually do get some streams. Like Sam Hauser would probably be streamable for the back-to-back. Peyton Pritchard probably for the back-to-back. This is thinking more along the head-to-head side, and maybe I should save that for the afternoon show when we know more, but this is the kind of thing you can look at. From a full season, like overall standpoint, Horford's a guy that you're playing against the games cap right now. That's sort of the only difference because Porzingis is out. Eric Gordon played 29 minutes. He ended up suffering a left knee bruise in this one, but he was horrible anyway, and you guys know I hate his fantasy game. It sounds like Devin Booker is coming back, though. So Eric Gordon was going to be totally useless regardless. The only question here is, you know, Phoenix has a four-game week, but it's a game and then a couple days off. Do you play Royce O'Neal for one more day and then sort of think about whether or not you want to hang on to him as the lone, like the sixth man you could probably play? Because even when Booker comes back, O'Neal could still get 30 minutes pretty easily. And that to me, that's the only question you're sitting on with the Phoenix Suns right now. Spurs took care of the Stephless Warriors. The good news on Steph is that they don't expect him to miss more than a couple of ball games. They've got Dallas tomorrow. I think he's out for that one. They're hoping to have him back for the Laker game on Saturday of this week. We'll see. You know everybody always plays against the Lakers, but you know, looking at the Warriors side in just a minute. Hey, let's do the Warriors now. So Chris Paul got the start. They moved Trayce Jackson-Davis into the starting five to get a little bit of a rim runner with Chris Paul for the screen and roll. It was kind of by design. So you could probably play Trayce Jackson-Davis for, I don't know, I guess that would be one more game. Two more? Oh, maybe they get Steph back for the Dallas game. We'll see. They got the Spurs again. They probably beat them this time. We'll see. Wemby's supposed to be back for that game, too. Brandon Podziemski, I think, is startable while Steph is out. Chris Paul definitely is. Not that there was any question there. Klay Thompson's a start. Draymond is a start, barely. Kuminga's a start. Wiggins is close now, 26 minutes. They're easing him back in. I think if we find out that he's good to go for 28 minutes in the next ballgame, you could probably play Andrew Wiggins, but I might wait one more just to see. But keep an eye on the starting five, because for Jackson Davis, you're not playing him if he's coming off the bench. You could probably play him if he's starting, if you need big man stats, and just hope he doesn't take any free throws because he went 1 for 5 here. I went in circles a little bit. Hopefully that covered the names. For San Antonio, this was the Wemby and Vassell-less ball game, and they won anyway. Devin Vassell is, like, Wemby, they basically already said that they're hoping to have him back for this ball game tonight, the rematch here with the Warriors. For Vassell, he did get the report. He's probable. That came out yesterday in the evening, so that's good news. So they expect to be back to full strength. meaning you pretty much punt on whatever you took away from this ball game. You're not doing Zach Collins stuff. You're not doing Sochan stuff. Malachi Branham's been actually scoring a decent amount lately, but not nine cat. Keldon Johnson would have been the guy you'd consider with all those other dudes out, but no. Trey Jones was a guy you'd consider when guys are out, so I think he probably pivots back into kind of the doesn't matter group. Champagne, no. Barlow, no. I mean, we saw what the Spurs were when Vassell and Wemby were healthy, and it was basically those two guys. At least for nine cat. Utah, they're in a weird... Their lineups are crazy right now. Keontae George is a start. He's back. He's healthy from his illness. That's good. Jordan Clarkson, you can start while Markkanen is out. Sexton, you're starting. Kessler's back, so you can start him as well. And John Collins. Those are the five guys I trust. Bryce Sensabaugh played 32 minutes again with Markkanen and then Taylor Hendricks both out. And I just can't bring myself to care. He had three steals, which basically floated his line here because the turnovers were bad. The field goal percent was good, but I don't think we can assume that's going to happen every ball game. So that's why I'm leaning towards no on Sensabaugh here in the short term. Nuggets, I have no thoughts at all. Whatever you've been doing, just keep doing it. KCP is in the doesn't matter group. Aaron Gordon is more of a points league guy. He didn't play that many minutes in this game. Blowout stuff, keep it light. And then everything else is fine. Same stuff. Toronto, Portland. Toronto, we just got the report on how many guys are questionable coming into their ballgame tonight. Gary Trent just got added to the board with a groin issue. That stinks. That could keep him out for a few ball games. Troubling, but I'm going to sit on him in Roto. Quickly, sit on him. He's dealing with a sore hip. Hopefully he plays. If he doesn't, whatever. Even in head-to-head, I think you can sit on him. Chris Boucher was the guy that I thought would kind of be interesting, but he's questionable with a knee issue. Boucher played 31 minutes. Dude gets 30 minutes. He's a big-time fantasy start. Well, then you look around, you see who's left. R.J. Barrett is probable. He missed the last ballgame with an illness. Kelly Olynyk is not even on the injury report. Thank the good Lord. So Kelly's a big-time start, and he posted kind of his first fat, juicy line here. First of many, I assume. Grady Dick played 39 minutes. That's notable. Again, it's hard to play 39 minutes and not post fantasy value, which is kind of what happened to him. But, like, look at Boucher and Trent or Quickly or whoever. If these guys are out, then you could even consider a Grady Dick stream. But the fact that none of these guys have been ruled out long-term makes me somewhat reticent about picking anybody up using a weekly move here. Or even on Roto, like, why am I picking up this backup if they might not even get to do anything for one ball game? If you're looking at a backup, the one I would look at is Boucher. And then just hope that he's healthy if some of these other guys miss time. If Barrett comes back, that actually, I think, puts a little bit of a dent into what Boucher did in the last ballgame. Also, Jalen McDaniels. There's a lot to kind of watch in Toronto, but I don't know that I would take a stab on anyone right this second. It's 11:15 in the morning here on the Pacific Coast. We got to get a report on these Raptors. I got to know when they're playing. Not when. I mean, I know when they're playing. They're in Denver, so it's a slightly later game. You're not going to get info on the Raptors until probably 4 or 5 o'clock Pacific time. And then if you wanted to do something, fine. You know, a lot of Roto leagues are not day of moves anyway, so it's too late to do anything with it. Head to head, I don't know how badly you want to do it because they play every other day all week, meaning you can't even expect to squeeze a back-to-back out of this. Portland, also a mess. All right, so where to even begin? DeAndre Ayton is in. Anthony Simons is in. That's good. Scoot Henderson came back. He had 13 and 5. And at some point here, he's going to be asked to do a lot of stuff. And then you're going to have to weigh out whether the pros outweigh the cons on him. And for Roto, the answer is almost definitely no. For head-to-head, Portland goes three games the first 4 days this week. So a lot of guys become playable in head-to-head. And we'll talk a bit more about that on the afternoon show, but who would I use among that group against a Roto games cap? If nobody else is added back in, like let's say Jabari Walker remains out, and I think everybody else is pretty far away from coming back, Thybulle's a play. Because, I mean, 5 defensive stats in starters minutes is pretty reachable for him. 4, I think you can just frankly kind of expect. Tumani Kamara in full starters minutes is also probably playable against a games cap, although he's more of a coin flip. And then Delano Banton is shooting a lot, and he happened to do some other stuff in this ball game, but at least for 9-cat, the bad has been outweighing the good. For head-to-head, very much playable on the hot stretch. Duop Reith's a drop. Chris Murray's minutes dropped off here. You know, when they had five games in seven nights, he was playable. Three games over four nights. I don't know that I would add him now. But if you were in a bind, like if Sadiq Bey went down and none of these other guys are available, that's where you could potentially think about it. And then our weekly adventure in did anybody not play over the weekend? And I think the answer this week was no. Didn't everybody go over the weekend? Thinking back to all of our streaming shows, and I feel like I talked about how, you know, everybody had either one game or two games starting on Friday. Nobody had a zero in there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure every single team played over the weekend. Right? Yeah, we got that right. All right, quick check of the chat room to see if anybody brought up some players that I skipped over, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Really big social media viewership today. You folks that watch on YouTube, first of all, thank you. You guys are amazing. But I don't think you get to see that number. I can see it through the back end on StreamYard, and there's like 650 people watching live on Twitter right now. So cheers to all of you. I guess that all them tweet storms are finally paying off. Is Conley a drop this week? Yeah. You could hold through tomorrow if you wanted and then drop after that, because technically if you take it in small chunks, like you sort of little quanta, one game over 2 days is average. And then they got one game over 5 days after that. So I think it's probably good to hold Conley on through his game tomorrow and then make a move on Wednesday, just so you preserve moves for later in the week. But basically, do I think Horford plays in the back-to-back? I don't. Is Sam Hauser a possible super stream? Maybe. Who would you choose between Trey Mann and Jaime Jaquez? Well, Trey Mann's posting zeros right now, so it kind of has to be Jaquez. When he comes back, it would be Trey. But I don't know if that's going to be now or a week from now. Scoot Henderson versus Banton. Points league. I'll go Scoot. I think he overtakes him and does some fun stuff. It's Trace Jackson Davis. We talked about him. Krejci. Yeah, if he plays a bunch, no guarantee he gets stats. We talked about that earlier. I don't think there's an obvious ad in the Sadiq Bey wake, which we talked about first thing on the show. If you guys are asking about Sadiq Bey, just rewind all the way to the beginning. That was the very first thing we talked about. Those of you guys that are asking about streaming stuff, again, we're going to talk about that on the afternoon show, the schedule-related stuff. This show is more about getting you the best possible players. So if you're like, there's a good question here saying, should I drop Daniel Gafford after Thursday? You know, for this show, the answer is no. If you're like dying in your playoffs, the answer might be yes, because then they go two games over 6 days after that. Three games over seven, though. I mean, that's not the end of the world. So probably not. What about Onyeka Okongwu? So we mentioned him in passing. We haven't really gotten a good update on him in a bit. I think he's more valuable now than ever if you can stash him, because they really have no choice in Atlanta but to play Okongwu a ton alongside Capella when he comes back. But, you know, the last news on him was Thursday and that he wasn't going to be reevaluated for at least another week. So you can't add him now. And if you've been sitting on him, you're kind of stuck sitting on him another 5 days. See what happens. Let's see what we got here. Did we just get Boucher ruled out? Yeah, Boucher ruled out. Grary Trent ruled out. Emmanuel Quickley all ruled out. That happened 10 minutes ago. Womp womp, right in the middle of the show, while being accosted by dogs and people that need to do a balcony inspection of our apartment building. Well, that's a real pain in the you-know-what. So you probably can go Grady Dick tonight if you want. I thought we weren't going to get an update until like 6 p.m. So early rule outs at least makes our life a little bit simpler. Yeah, Grady Dick's going to have to play a bunch. So, but again, you know, a bunch of those guys might be back by Wednesday. So don't, again, my thought is don't overextend yourself, because you got four moves this week, and I don't know about using them this early if you don't know for a fact you're holding said player for more than a day. My man doesn't watch the chat. I don't watch the chat in real time. It's too distracting. I check it at the end here. Is Naz Reid too good to drop? Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I mean, you know, if Gobert and Slow-Mo come back, then Naz Reid becomes more like a top 80, top 90 guy, and then I think you could drop him after Tuesday for the one game in 5 day spell. But if it sounds like Gobert and Slow-Mo are going to miss more time, then, yeah, Naz is like top 50, and then you try to hold him. But don't, like, it's so hard. You're in the playoffs. You got to advance. Yeah. Oh, and good point. Yes, I mentioned Jalen McDaniels when we were talking about the Raptors 10 minutes ago, but I forgot to repeat him now. Jalen McDaniels should also probably be worth a one-day look in quite a lot of formats. All right, that'll wrap it up. We'll try to get an afternoon show going as close to after lunch as possible, but my lunch is getting pushed right now. I'm Dan Vespers. This is Fantasy NBA Today. Thanks for joining us. Big, big viewership today on all formats. A lot of you out on social watching these days, so remember to like, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. And again, two-a-days, we're doing them right now. See you guys on Twitter in the meantime. Later for now.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.